got biscuits, kitchen notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Brett Ciancia with us, Pick Six Previews. He's with us every Wednesday. Brett, last Wednesday you and I spoke. Later that day, mid-afternoon, all hell broke loose with Oklahoma and Texas and the news there. Give us some thoughts.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on, as always. And, yeah, it was shocking news, obviously. I mean, usually you see these things starting to build up over months and years, but this one is really done in the shadows with Texas and Oklahoma working together with the SEC behind really everyone's back. My thoughts, well, just in general, I mean, I'm a fan of the old historic game, the old historic rivalries and traditions and regionality of the sport. So when you take Texas and Oklahoma out of the Midwest football footprint and throw them down into the SEC, it takes away from a lot of the old tradition. So and from that sense, it kind of stinks. And every wave of conference realignment takes us further away from that old game and more towards the NFL junior, as I'm calling it. But, for those two schools, congrats. It's, I guess, an upgrade for them. And to the SEC, congrats, because they added two of the best brands and programs out there. But for everyone else that has to deal with it, it kind of stinks in that regard.
Yeah, and I was thinking, guys like you that put out publications, you're okay for now because they're not joining this year, but it'll be different in the future.
Yeah, it'll be different. From the book perspective, this one doesn't matter as much. I mean, yeah, right. I'm familiar with those two. I've been covering them for years. It'll just be, you know, adjusting into the SEC framework. Like, where do you put Texas over there? Texas is probably middle of the pack in the SEC if you break it down. Oklahoma can probably contend most years or will at least push towards the top. So, but a lot will change in 4 years or whatever before they move over in 2025. Not that big a deal from a preseason preview book perspective. Now, the issue would be if the Big 12 just disintegrates and those teams are either scattered across or move down to the non-AQ level, or if they're starting to form superpower conferences, and who knows what will happen. So this is like the final domino of conference realignment, or the first of many. I think it's the first of another big wave. So we'll see.
Where did you have Texas this year in the Big 12?
Yeah, I had Texas fourth in the Big 12 this year. I had Oklahoma number one and as a playoff pick, and then I went to Iowa State number two, TCU number three, higher than most in the country. I actually have TCU in the top 10. I don't think anyone else out there has that. And then I had Texas four. So, but if you were to put their national rank, I think I have Texas about 20th. If you were to put the number 20 team in the SEC, that's good for like seventh or eighth. So, it's apples to oranges when you're comparing across leagues. So, yeah, in the SEC West, they'd probably be fifth this year.
Brett Ciancia with his Pick Six Previews. Do you think that Texas with SEC affiliation in the future becomes the program that everybody thinks they ought to be every year?
Well, that's the thing is that, it's a lot more crowded over there. So just say that Texas makes a huge step forward. Say that they, instead of bringing the number 8 recruiting class, maybe they bring in the number 4 recruiting class, and they make a big step. They hire great coaches. What does that really do for them? Does that get them any extra wins in the SEC? Maybe they're the fourth or fifth best team in the SEC. I don't know. But they're not going to climb to the Alabama tier. So, I don't know. From a football perspective, I didn't understand it. From revenue, I didn't understand it because Texas is the number one revenue program out there right now, the only ones with their own TV channel right now. So instead of owning that and still owning that advantage, they now enter the SEC and just become a face in the crowd. For Oklahoma, football-wise, they already have what I call a playoff ticket every year. I mean, if they win the Big 12 like they do now 6 straight years, the longest streak of any Power 5 team along with Clemson since the 1950s at 6 straight, they win that conference every year. They're in the playoff most years. So rather than that, you throw them into the SEC, they're now like the eighth best recruiter over there, and it's a battle to get to the playoffs. So I wonder, since those two on the surface level didn't make sense, I wonder if this is something a lot deeper where we're moving towards super conferences or even a separation from the NCAA, something we haven't really considered, something we're talking about, like divisions and who's going to play who, but I wonder if this is even deeper than that. So who knows how this is going to unfold.
Georgia Dog on the Emerald Coast says, ask Brett, Kirby Smart is now the third longest tenured of the SEC football coaches. His question, which of the newest coaches will have the most success this year?
Well, first off, the third longest tenure, that means he's doing something right. You know, you hear about that Kirby Smart's on the hot seat. I don't buy that. He's played really great defense. He's built, number one recruiting classes and has them close most years. He had them in the playoff, which very few programs can claim. So we'll see. This year they have a nice window of opportunity to collect wins and win the SEC East and maybe push for the College Football Playoff. So, for who's going to have the biggest impact, a lot of great hires. I mean, Clark Lea of Vanderbilt, only to go up from there. They got the financial commitment from the school, so that's huge. Shane Beamer, you know, people love media days. He really won that media day. But X's and O's wise, I like schematically what he's done with the offense. He's bringing in kind of Lincoln Riley concepts and Joe Brady concepts. So those two guys know, you know, their offenses work. So I like it there. Josh Heupel, a bigger offensive transition. I'll probably go with Shane Beamer. I think that they needed fresh energy down there. They were, you know, playing 1980s smash mouth football on offense. So I think this might modernize them a bit, let their athletes loose. So I think South Carolina eventually will make bigger steps forward.
Brett Ciancia, Pick Six Previews, with us to talk college football every Wednesday. Do you anticipate Oklahoma and Texas actually being in the SEC before that grant of rights is up in 25?
So I think that if they want to leave, they're going to leave. Now, I don't know where the money will come from. I saw a couple of reports that ESPN was going to cover the bill for Texas, and, you know, that doesn't surprise me given how their relationship has been. But, I just have a gut feeling that if they want to leave, they're going to find a way, whether legally or financially or whatever, to make it happen. So we'll see how it unfolds. It just seems very long that they'd be sitting there as lame ducks in the Big 12 for, 4 years. I remember when Nebraska left and when A&M left in Colorado, I remember them having just 1 year left on that. Like, it was a final tour, and then they got shipped out. So, and I guess it's different given the Bill of Rights and all that stuff, or not Bill of Rights, whatever the contract is, TV-wise there. So, we'll see. I don't really have any inside info on that. I'm kind of watching it along with everybody else.
What he's referring to about ESPN, and obviously ESPN has been in on these private conversations along with the SEC office, Greg Sankey, and then Oklahoma and Texas, but it was kept very private. Nobody knew this was going down, although everybody's acting like they did, but they didn't. Everybody was taken by surprise here. But one report, and I don't know if it's valid or not, but one report says ESPN, which is going to do away with the Longhorn Network, still has a 10-year contract with Texas, and the money left on that contract is about $160 million, which could cover the fee for both Texas and Oklahoma to get out. That was a report I read, and I guess that's the same one you saw. I don't know if that's doable or if that is an item that's being discussed. Might be, but we do know that they're going to get rid of the Longhorn Network, which is a disaster. We do know that.
But with ESPN, I mean, that's what's really behind all this. People talk about, like, oh, can you believe Texas? Can you believe Oklahoma? Well, you know what? It's really big money in college football, and the big money is coming from the TV channels, the TV networks, and contracts, obviously. And it's ESPN driving this. Now, isn't it such a coincidence that I think it was about 6 months ago where the SEC was with CBS for their premier game for about, I don't know, my entire lifetime, probably as long as you've been covering football. They've owned the SEC's rights to the biggest TV game of the week. they just switched over to ESPN this year. It was shocking news. I think, like I said, I think it was about 6 months ago we heard about this. And then that quickly now, with ESPN, you know, pulling the strings, they bring over the two biggest programs, Oklahoma and Texas. So if you want to yell at Texas and Oklahoma, fine, but it's really just beyond their control. It's just TV money that rules the sport. You know, it has for about a generation now. But that's just the next move. So now that ESPN owns the SEC fully, okay, now let's bring two more huge markets in and do it behind the scenes, and we'll pay any fee you want. Let's just get them over there and just, you know, create an even bigger monopoly and really, really attack Fox too, because Fox with the Big 12 and some Big 10 and Pac 12 coverage, that's their two of their biggest brands that they just robbed from. So, you know, this goes beyond, the Bedlam game. You know, no, this is about the ESPN versus Fox TV battle that really runs the sport behind the scenes. So, and it's a shame when you think about it, because, you know, those two companies really determine, the matchups we see, the on-field product, everything. So we're kind of at their mercy in that sense.
Brett, tell everybody how they can get all your content.
Yeah, thanks. So the preseason preview book released last week. We're 1 week in. I'm blown away from all the feedback. Thanks so much to all that have purchased and read. It's an annual season preview book now in my 10th year. Those first 9 years created the most accurate Power 5 predictions in the country. Compared to all the ones you see on newsstands and online. So it's pick6previews.com and at pick6previews on Twitter. It's a one-man show. I'm calling coaches, calling coordinators, and writing this thing. So it's all 65 Power 5 teams.
Always a pleasure, sir. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Bill.
Brett Ciancia, Pick 6 Previews.